display, I visited an elderly lady who was passing through very, very difficult circumstances. She'd just buried a son, and both she and her husband were suffering from cancer. She really was very perplexed. Among other things, she was saying, in effect, "Why should this happen to me?" She looked out on the village where she lived, and she saw many, many people who were living reckless lives. Many of them were involved in the drug culture, and some of them peddling drugs, and she seemed to feel that they got off lightly compared with her. That is a problem, but we had to say to her that the day of reckoning is not in this life. The Bible tells us that after death is the judgment. And there is a phrase in the Word of God which speaks about the day of judgment. It was Peter who said, "The Lord knows how to reserve the unjust, the unrighteous, unto the day of judgment to be punished." So I would like to tell you just a little about what the Bible says about the day of judgment. If you want to read about it yourself, you would have to turn to the very last book of the Bible. It's called the Book of Revelation. And there at the end of the 20th chapter, you have details of what will take place at the last great day of judgment. Now, just let me say, before I introduce the topic in depth, everybody who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is exempt from appearing at that judgment throne. You see, their sins were punished when the Savior died upon the cross. The Lord Jesus loved people, and he came into this world to die on that cross for our sins. And those who trust in him as their Lord and Savior will never experience the judgment of God. The Bible says there is no condemnation, no judgment, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that phrase, "in Christ Jesus," is just a technical Bible term that describes those who have been saved by the Lord Jesus. They are united to Christ, they belong to him, and so there is no judgment for them. What I would like to ask you to think about is this. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? Are you trusting in him and in the value of the work he accomplished at the cross for your salvation? If not, then what I'm about to speak about has relevance for you, because you will stand at that last great day of judgment before God's throne. The Bible tells us that that throne will be a great white throne. It will be a great throne because it's the final court of appeal, really. There will be no appeal from that court, no higher court to which anyone can go. It is a great throne. It is a white throne, and the whiteness of the throne is illustrative of the justice, the purity of the justice that will be administered there. There will be no miscarriages of justice at that last great day of judgment. No one will ever be exempted because of a technicality. No one will ever be let off because of flawed evidence. Never. It is a white throne, and those who stand at that white throne will experience justice. But then John, the man who tells us about that great throne, he tells us that there's one who sits on the throne, the judge, at the last day of judgment. Now you might be asking, who will be the judge at the last day of judgment? Well, the Bible makes clear to us that the judge on that occasion will be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says the Father, God the Father, has committed all judgment unto the Son. So it is the Lord Jesus himself who will be the judge sitting on the throne on that judgment day. Now, to me, that is very, very sobering. It really means that if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will have to face him as your judge. I remember years ago reading the story about an Indian judge who was making his way to his courtroom early one morning. He was walking along a path at the side of a railway line, and then he noticed that a little girl had caught her foot in the track. A moment or two later, he heard the rumble of an oncoming train. He rushed forward, and in the nick of time, he managed to dislodge the little girl's foot and snatched her from the very jaws of death. He saved her life that morning. Before the end of that selfsame day, in his courtroom, he opened the drawer at which he sat, and he pulled out a black cap. He placed that black cap on his head, and as was the custom, he sentenced the man in the dock to be hung by the neck until he was dead. You see, in the morning, that man acted as a saviour. In the evening, he acted as a judge. I'm glad to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is still acting as a saviour today. His death on the cross and his glorious resurrection makes it possible for him to be your saviour. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world. You need to know him as your personal saviour. By turning from your sin in repentance and by believing in him, you will experience the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of your soul. But should you choose to live without him, should you reject him, one day you will face him as judge. The one who today can be your saviour will on that day be your judge. So, at that great white throne, the Lord Jesus will administer justice. He is the one who will be the judge upon the throne. And then we read that on that day, books will be opened. You may ask, what is the purpose of these books? Well, these are the books of evidence, the books in which are recorded the details of people's lives. And again, it is staggering just to think that God keeps a record of all of our lives. Now, you might feel that that is far-fetched. You might ask, how can God keep tabs on the billions of people who've lived and died? I tell you, I'm amazed sometimes at the amount of information that my fellow men have about me. And those of you who are computer users, you will know that it is staggering just the amount of information that others have about you. Do you think then that it's any problem for the great God of the universe, the God of creation, to keep a record of the lives of all of his creatures? In these books in heaven then, God maintains records. It's just as if there in heaven there's a file with your name on it. The details of your life. You might say, what kind of things are recorded in these books? What will be used as evidence on that last great day of judgment? Well, for example, the Bible tells us that he knows the very thoughts that pass through your mind. In the book of Ezekiel, he says so. I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Those thoughts of hatred, jealousy, those filthy thoughts, those angry thoughts and attitudes. God knows everything that comes into our mind and records it. They're all there in the book. But then the words that we speak, they are recorded. The Lord Jesus said that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. The lies that have been told, the words of blasphemy that have been spoken, and the Bible does say God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so the very words that people speak, the lies, the blasphemy, the blue jokes, all the rest, they're all recorded and will be used as evidence at that last day of judgment. And then the things that people do, not only the things they think and the things they say, but the things they do are recorded in these books. In fact, even their secret sins. The Bible tells us that God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. It speaks of the judgment day as the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. It could be that some of you listening have skeletons in the cupboard. There are things that we've all done for which we're ashamed, and maybe our only consolation is that no one ever found out. Well, the plain fact of the matter is that God knows, and God has maintained records of everything we've done, even those secret sins. And so in the books are recorded the things people think, the things they say, and the things that they do. Just for your encouragement, I would like to tell you that that record can be wiped clean. There is a verse of the Bible which says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. At a stroke, the record of your sins can be blotted out if you are willing to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do that, then the slate will be wiped clean. But if you reject the Saviour, the record stands, and the book of evidence, will be opened at that coming day of judgment. So it's a great white throne. The one who will sit upon it is the Lord Jesus Christ. the books of evidence will be opened at that last assize. And then the Bible tells us that another book will be opened, and that other book is called the Book of Life. And the Book of Life is the register of everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus for the salvation of the soul, everyone who has been saved. I ask you, is your name in the Book of Life? The Book of Life, then, is the register of everyone who has come to Christ for salvation and has received as a gift from him eternal life. But the Bible tells us that everyone who is not found written in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. At that last day of judgment, if you stand there, they will scan the Book of Life for your name. Of course, it won't be there because you've never been saved. And thus, if your name is not in the Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a place of everlasting punishment. I don't want you to think that when the Bible speaks about people being cast into the lake of fire, it means annihilation. It doesn't mean that they cease to exist. It means everlasting punishment. It means unending wretchedness. It means eternal pain. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. There's a single word that the Bible uses to describe those who will be there. It speaks of them perishing. But the good news is that God doesn't want you to perish. The Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to avoid being cast into that lake of fire. And so the Bible tells us that he is long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God doesn't want you to perish. He has been patient with you. In listening to this, he's giving you another opportunity to repent of your sin and to believe on his Son so that you will not perish. He has been so patient. But please do not trade on his patience and long-suffering. For the Lord Jesus did warn, except you repent, you will perish. These are the words of the Saviour. He himself warned that people who do not repent will perish. At that great last day of judgment, they will be assigned to the lake of fire and they will perish. Now, when you think about it, it is very, very sobering. These things are crucial. What you do with the Lord Jesus determines where you will be forever. If you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you will be with him forever, enjoying eternal life, eternal blessedness, eternal joy. But should you reject him, then rather than eternal glory, it will be eternal grief. Rather than eternal joy, it will be eternal punishment. In light of the fact that these matters affect your eternal destiny, I urge you again to make ready to meet God. You can do it by believing in the Lord Jesus. It's not by joining anything. It is not by subscribing to anything. It is not by being baptized. It is not by turning over a new leaf and trying to live a new life. The work was done for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross at a place called Calvary, just outside the ancient city of Jerusalem, because he died there and gave his life in sacrifice and then rose from the dead, you could be saved this very day. It's between you and God. You don't need the instrumentality of any mediator, any preacher, any priest. It is between you and God. But it's for you to confess your sin to him, to repent of your sin, and to believe on him. And then you will never, ever be summoned to stand at that great white throne. But remember the warning that comes from the pen of Peter in the Bible. The Lord does know how to reserve those who are unjust, those who are unsaved, to the day of judgment, to be punished.